So we're always trying to figure out the difference between two kinds of shtaros, according to Rabbi Meir, a shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechosim, as opposed to a shtar she'yesh bo achrayis nechosim. And obvious, if there's achrayis nechosim in the shtar, then the lekuchos are on the, you know, they're on the firing line, so to speak, which means that they have to back up the chov in event that the lover defaults on the chov. Thank you very much. Okay. Great. Now, once there are issues about the shtar, and we're wondering whether the shtar is a valid shtar, so there are two factors that have to be reckoned with. One is, what is the lover saying about this? Is he saying that he borrowed the money? Is he saying that he paid back the money? What exactly is the lover's claim? And the second issue is, if we return the shtar to the malva, will the malva now be able to collect from the lekuchos, assuming that there's a chrayis in the shtar? So in the case where you find shtari chov in the street and there's a chrayis, then our Mishnah says, according to Rav Meir, we don't return such a shtar because it has a chrayus. And if the lova is moda that he hasn't yet paid back the chov, then there's no danger by returning the shtar to the malva that he'll be collecting from the lova. But we do have another problem. Even though, with, you know, notwithstanding the fact that the lova was moda that he owes the money, but nevertheless, the malva now has a very powerful weapon in his hand if we return the shtar, and that is he can collect from lekuchos if it's a shtar shesh bo achrayis. And here we're going to be choshesh that maybe, although the lova commissioned the writing of the shtar as early as Nisan, it's very possible that he didn't actually receive the money, the loan, until Tishrei, 6 months later. Mm-hmm. Now, if the shtar is in the hands of the malva and it has a chrayus, he's going to be able to collect from the earlier date, which is Nisan. And that's not fair to the lekuchos, because the shibud wasn't chal until the matan mos, which was in Tishrei. So any buyer who purchased the karka, the lova, within that 6 month period of time, from Nisan until Tishrei, is now going to be buying a piece of karka which has no lien on it, but yet the malva is going to claim that there was a lien. And here we get into the machlokes between Rav Asi and Abaye. Rav Asi says that it's not enough to give the shtar back to the malva and allow the malva to collect from the lekuchos. That's not really so. We need what's called shtari daknaisa. Mm-hmm. And that means that there has to be a separate kinyan on the shibudim of the karka, regardless of when or if there was a halva.
But that's chal immediately.
And that'll be chal immediately through the medium of this shtarach naisa.
Right.
But if there's no shtarach naisa, then we cannot give the shtar back to the malva, because again, the malva will be collecting from Nisan against the lekuchos, and that's not fair. But according to Abaye, who disagrees with Rav Asi, he holds Eidav b'chasum of Zochin lo, then we don't need shtar aknaisa one way or the other. So then what happens is, according to the sheet of Abaye, the malva has legal rights to collect from the date, the earlier date of Nisan, that's written in the shtar, because immediately the Eidim who are signed on the shtar, from that moment that they were commissioned to write the shtar and sign the shtar by the lova, they are kone shibudim on behalf of the malva. And the lova is aware of that. So there's an act, there's a kinyan that goes into effect regardless of whether the shtar aknaisa, simply by the very fact that the lova commissions the writing of the shtar. And once again, it's irrelevant as to when the matan mos will be and if there'll be matan mos. So then according to Abaye, we wonder why we can't return the shtar. And here's where we got to Chayshina Lekinunya. And Abai was worried that even though the Lov is saying that I didn't pay back the shtar, but maybe in fact, in truth, he did pay back the shtar, and there's some sort of a kinunya here in which they're trying to cheat. The Malv and the Lov are working in cahoots with a secret agreement to undermine the situation of the Lekuchos. And the Malv is going to be able to collect from the Lekuchos. The Lov is going to, so to speak, admit or shall I say, he's going to claim that he did not pay back the chov.
And he has no money.
And he has no money to pay back the chov. Go collect from the Lekuchos. And the Malv is going to take the shtar and collect from the Lekuchos. So the sheet of Rabbi Meir and our mission, according to Abaye, is going to be, we cannot return the shtar that has a chrayas on it, because it's quite possible that even though the Lova is claiming that he paid back the shtar, I'm sorry, that he's admitting that he did not pay back the shtar, maybe in truth he did pay back the shtar, and this is a kinunya. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, don't have to worry about this whole distinction that we're making between a shtar sheyesh bo achrayas or ein bo achrayas doesn't apply. Why? Because according to the Rabbanan, we have a principle called achrayas tos sofer, which I'm interested in, we can get to today. And even if achrayas is not written in the shtar, there's no way we can return the shtar to the malva, because once again we have to be choshesh for kinunya between the malva and the lova. And despite the fact that the achrayas was omitted from the shtar, for all intents and purposes, it's as if the shtar has achrayas in it. Then the Gemara, if you recall, introduced Shmuel's shita. Later on, we didn't get to Shmuel, but he says lo chayshina lepirot lekinunya. You know, he has a certain faith in the Malv and the Lov that they're not creating this kinunya. So then, according to Shmuel, why can't we return the shtar? So the Gemara says we can only work out Shmuel or if he holds like Rav Asi, which means that the Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra and the principle of Kosvin Shtar La Lova Afal Pishay Malva Imo is conditional on the fact that there's a separate shtar kinyan. And therefore, if Shmuel accepts the opinion of Vasi, then we understand that a stam shtar without a shtar akna has no shibud from the shas ksiva. And if it has no shibud from the shas ksiva, then we're not going to be able to return the shtar to the malva, because we always have to be choshesh that he'll collect from Mishubadim Shalom Kedin. Let me go over that last point one more time. We're not talking about Kinunya, because Shmuel rejects Kinunya. There's no chashash Kinunya, but there's another chashash. And what is that chashash? That maybe there never was a halva. And again, Shmuel is not holding Eidah B'chsum of Zochinlo. So the only way that the Malva could gain a Kinyan and rights of Shibudim to collect from the Lekuchas is only if there was Shtari Akna. In the absence of Shtari Akna, then this Shtar, which was found in the street, is going to lead us to suspect that maybe the actual date of the Halva was in Tishrei, not in Nisan. So even though the Lova commissioned the Edom to write the shtar in Nisan, but the actual Matmos, which would generate the Shibudim, took place 6 months later. So once we give the shtar back to the Malva, he's going to be illegally collecting from the Lekuchos.
We don't, I'm sorry, I have to ask a question.
No, yeah, it's complicated. A lot of different factors.
The whole question here, as far as I understand, is whether the Malva has reshut to collect from the Kuchos, but the fact that the shtar was lost in the first place is not entering at all into this equation.
No, it is. It is, on the contrary. Reb Meir is saying the following. If the shtar was never lost, then we have what's called Tfisas Balashtar, which means the shtar testifies that on the day that's written in the shtar, that date, that's when the halva took place. And therefore, the Malva has rights to collect from the Shibudim, and if the Lov admits that he didn't pay back the shtar, we could return the shtar to the Malva. I'm sorry, scratch that, my mistake. What I meant to say was that if a malva pulls out a shtar from his pocket and he presents it as a claim against the lova, or alternatively, if the lova has no money, he presents it as a claim against the lekuchos, that's a valid shtar. Why? Because of the principle called Eidem Achsum al Shtar, Nasa Kamisha Nechkore Dusan Bebezdin, or call it Tfisus Balashtar. We have no reis in the shtar, and therefore the shtar, we assume, was written the way it should be written. And the Eidem were very careful to see the matan modes. And therefore the Lekuchos are legally responsible because of the Shibud of the Kark. Once the shtar is dropped, and now the person who finds the shtar has to ask Bezdin whether he can return it to the Malva. First question we have to figure out is, what is the lova saying? The lova is saying, I never paid back the shtar.
He's being moted that the malva dropped the shtar.
He's being moted that the malva dropped the shtar. But the problem
is, as good as peace enough.
Not really. I'll tell you why. Because there still is a race on the shtar. What do I mean? That there was a gap between A and B. A is to say that the Eidim signed the shtar in the presence of the Malva, in other words, they saw the matan mos, and therefore the Lekuchos are legitimately responsible for the Shibuscha. B is to say that the Eidim did not see the Malva, as the Mishnah says at the end of Bava Basra, and it could very well be that we're going to illegally collect from the Lekuchos, because the matan mos only took place 6 months later. The difference to bridge the gap between the A and D is Tfisus Balashtar. If the Balashtar is holding on to the shtar, then we go with A. You know, so our assumption, our premise is going to be that indeed the Eidim were there, they saw the Matan Mos took place on the date of the Shtar. Again, according to Abai, we don't need that whole thing, because according to Abai, Eidim v'chasum of Zochelo. But we're going according to Shmuel never accepted Eidim v'chasum of Zochelo. So what we're going to need is Tfisus Balashtar, to say that the Shtar itself is testimony that the Mos were given on the date that's written in the Shtar. Once the shtar is dropped, and now we find the shtar, then we have a whole other issue vis-a-vis the lekuchos. You know, the lova could say, okay, you know, I admit that the malva dropped the shtar and I never paid back the chov. But his hodah is not a hodah that's meaningful against the lekuchos. And if the shtar is not a valid shtar, because now we go into mode B, in which we assume or suspect that maybe the shtar was written on Nisan, but the matmos was only in Tishrei, now you're going to illegitimately collect from the lekuchos. We can't possibly return the shtar to the malva, with all due respect to the lova's admission, but we can't do so on the expense of the lekuchos, because the lova's not paying back his chov. The lekuchos, in effect, are going to pay back this chov. Well, when did that chov take place? And we have every reason to suspect that maybe the chov took place later than the zman that's written in the shtar. So that if we go with Shmuel, although the chashash Kinunya is completely out of the ballpark, but nevertheless, since Shmuel holds against Abaye, right, he rejects Eidem v'chasum of Zochenlo, he rather requires a special kinyan on the shibud, and the absence of a special kinyan on the shibud, if there's no testimony that could establish that, we always have to worry that kinyan on the shibud was not chal. There was no shibud generated by the alva, because the alva took place 6 months later. So again, just a lot of factors here in the puzzle, but I don't want to get stuck on this forever. So hopefully, you know, you'll have a chance to review this on your own time. But basically, the principle is that according to Shmuel, we cannot return the shtar the yesh b'achrayus, because then we would collect from lekuchos shlo kedin, because we're choshesh that the alva took place 6 months after the date that's written in the shtar. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, we would make a harmony and integrate the two shitas, Shmuel who's not choshes lekinunya with Abaye who says Eidem v'chasum of Zochenlo, then we would have no problem with returning the shtar. Why? Because the lova is moda that he never paid back the shtar. The malva could collect from the lekuchos on the date written in the shtar, for the very simple reason that Eidem v'chasum of Zochenlo, which means that a shibud was created at the very moment and by the Eidem when they signed the shtar. So at this point, the Gemara is going to have to say that if Shmuel agrees to Abaye, you know, ask yourself the question: why can't we return the shtar to the malva? And mimanav shok, we're okay. If you're worried that the Baal is going to collect from the loaf, and the loaf himself admits he didn't pay back. If you're going to worry about the possibility that the halvah took place 6 months later, well, we have a principle called Eidah B'Chasum of Zochinlo. So the Gemara now is up to the point at which we're trying to figure out why Shmuel, if he holds like Abaye, would nevertheless have a reservation about returning the shtar to the Malva. So let's just make sure we're all in the same place here. Let's count up on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines up from the bottom. The first word in the line is low. We're going to start from my ikal and meimar. Okay, this is where I think we got up to last week. So Shmuel's going to say, Shmuel muki lamasnisi kishe ein chayav moda. Oh, wow. The reason why we're not returning the shtar. Again, which shtar are we talking about, according to Rav Meir? Shtar sheyesh bo achrayis. The reason why we're not returning that shtar is because the Lova denies that the Malva dropped the shtar. The Lova claims that he dropped the shtar. Mm-hmm. But that's an untenable position. Hochi came by achrayis amayachsir. Why does the Mishnah say, according to Rav Meir, that if there's no achrayis, we return the shtar? Is Nehidal or Gavi Mimashabdim Nechori Gavi? You know, forget about collecting for the Lakuchos. that's a whole different issue. But let's talk about collecting from the Lova. How can you give the Malva the Shtar that would give him rights to collect from the Lova, and the Lova denies that he owes the Chov? And the answer is going to be Rabosai, Lotzer al Pitz Lichuso. If you remember, that was the last discussion we had. And the Gemara says, Shmuel itamei the Yom Shmuel Omer Hayo Rab Meir Shtar Chov She'ein Bo Achrayis Nechosim Eino Gova Lo Mishabdi Lo Bnei Chori. If the shtar has no achrayis in it, we throw the shtar out, so to speak. I don't mean we throw it in the rubbish bin, because it is worth something for the paper that's written on. But as far as gviya is concerned, there's no gviya, not even from Bnei Chori, not even from the Lova himself. So we lose absolutely nothing by returning the shtar to the Malva. So the Gemara says, "B'chi miyachir sheinu gova mayachzer." What's the whole purpose of this effort? It's an exercise in futility. What are you returning a shtar that's worthless to the Malva? And we're racking our brains whether we can return the shtar. On Rabbi Nosson bar Oshi a lotzer al pitzli chusa shel Malva. The Malva wants to use the shtar. It's worth it for him. Yeah, but wait a second. The Lova could also claim, I want to use the shtar to cover my my glass bowl or whatever it is, right? So at this point we're really learning the laws of Hashavas Aveda. Pashat Hashavas Aveda. We have completely left the sugya of Malva and Lova and Lakuchos and so forth. The Lova claims that he dropped the shtar, the Malva claims that he dropped the shtar. So we should ask for simonim or something, I don't know. Probably both of them could be give simonim, because the Malva held on to the shtar for X amount of time. The Lova was the one who wrote the shtar. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara answers, Lova who, now we're up to Daf Yud Gimel Beis, Lova who diomar shlohayu dvar me'ola. The Lova is claiming that there was never alva to begin with. Not the way we assumed until now, that the Lova is claiming he repaid the Chov. Yeah. He's denying the whole Chov. He's claiming that the Shtar is what you call a Shtar Mizuyov. The whole thing is a forgery. It's a counterfeit Shtar. Well, in doing so, he admits that he doesn't own the Shtar. And the Malva is claiming it's a valid Shtar. The Malva can't collect anything with the Shtar. Let's give the Malva back the Shtar, because the Lova, by his own admission, didn't drop the Shtar. The whole Shtar was a gebluff to Shtar. Now, let's take, before we give a summary of everything we said, let's just take one step back and ask the following question. Why is it that a shtar she'ein bo achrayis, according to Rabbi Meir, is eino gova bo lo mimshabdei v'lo mibnei chori? What's that all about? So Rashi says, Dibra maskil eino, which you'll see on your Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi says that a shtar shelo nichto bo Achrayus is not considered a shtar for halvos, it's called a milva bal peh. A milva bal peh is like a shtar that has no edim signed on it. It's basically a worthless shtar as far as shtari milva is concerned. And why is that? Sheinu gova bo im halovet toin sheinu chayav. What does it mean? It means the shtar, in a sense, is a statement of trust, if you will. It is the lover is saying, I trust the malva that he'll only use the shtar to collect from me if I admit that I owe the money. I mean, it's not clear why the malva would have had such a shtar written up. The only thing I could think, maybe here's something that we could think about. What happens if the lova dies, or the lova goes to Medina Sayyam? Would you be able to collect with this chov from the Yorshin? Yesh lachkor. Here's my chakira. Is it that the shtar is worthless unless the lova admits that he owes the money? In which case, I don't know what the malva gains by the shtar. Or is it the other way around? The shtar is valid, just that the lova could be machish the shtar. And the nafkamina is going to be in the absence of the hakhash of the lova. Maybe that's an idea, I don't know. But he quotes the Rashba here. I wanted to share with you the Rashba. And the Rashba says, Hatam she'en gov mishtar zeh, the Rashba, the Rav Shlomo ben Aderes.
Who quotes the
Rashba? The Nesifta. Whenever I say, you know, he quotes, you should always assume it's the Nesifta. Okay then? So the Nesifta quotes the Rashba. And he says, "Atam she'en gov b'shtar zeh, hu shebevaday hashtar mezuyof." The very fact that there's no achrayus in the shtar, why would a malva accept a shtar that has no achrayus? And it must be that the shtar is a forgery. Shrei ein lecha adam shemalva mamon lelo shibud nechasim. Wow, the Rashba is assuming that it would be idiotic, it would be idiosyncratic for the malva to agree to accept the shtar, and he can't collect from the lekuchos. The whole purpose of the shtar is to give the malva security, a guarantee that if the lova defaults on the loan, he, the malva, will have some recourse to get his money back. And the Rashba says the following: Masha muva b'gemara b'babaser sheshtar shenichtav b'ksav yodu shal lova govim minichosim b'nei chorin lamrod shal nichtav shtar chorayis nichosim hayakushim shizui tzuras hashtar. So an IOU note, which we call a ksav yodo, that's already a different tzuras hashtar, and that's not collectible from the lekuchos, and the malva is satisfied with that, because that's a kind of a shtar that's used simply as a proof that the lova admits that he borrowed the money. Al shtar ragil, but if you have a classic shtar where you get two edim to sign the shtar as opposed to ksav yodo, tzuroso, the tzuras hashtar, the way you create such a shtar and what it looks like, the format and the formula of the shtar should reflect the fact that it has achrayis nechasim in it, in order to guarantee the malva rights to collect from the luku from the mishubadim. But kevan shelo huzkar in this shtar, there's no mention of achrayus. Ein lo tzuras hashtar va'edus harei ke edus minaksav va'shtaru ke cheftze bi'alma vein gov bo klal. Interesting. The Rashba adds another sentence over here. He compares this shtar to edus min aksav. What do we mean? Right, the Torah says al pi shnayim edim yodim.
Mipihem v'lo mipichtavam.
Excellent, mipihem v'lo mipichtavam. So what we're going to say now is that this shtar has the status of mipichtavam. What generates the status of a shtar and overrides or neutralizes the problem of mipichtavam? It's the tzuras hashtar. If the tzuras hashtar is kehilchaso, it's kedino, kehogen, then we activate the principle of shtaros, which means that it's not edus balpeh, but edus balpeh in aksav, but rather it's acceptable, valid edus. But in order to accept and validate the edus of the shtar, you need ketikuno, that the shtar has to be written and signed according to the regulations of shtaros. And the Rabbanon elevated the shtar to a status of a shtar based on the assumption that this shtar is koneshibudim, it has achrayus in it. Because the whole purpose of the shtar is to guarantee the malva that he will be able to collect the shtar. And therefore we want to give him shibudim rights. If the shtar omits shibudim rights, then it's shalok hilchaso. and the edus now becomes edus bichsav, meaning it's a violation of ipia. Do you follow? So you have the following three options. You can have edus mipia, which means two edim testifying in front of the beis din, that's valid. Then you could have edus bishtar, and in between you have something that's absolutely unacceptable, and that is edus bixav. So we have edus be'alpeh, we have edus bishtar, and then we have edus bixav. Edus bixav is unacceptable because the Torah says mipim v'lom pichsov. How do we bridge the gap between edus bixav and edus bishtar? It means that you wrote the shtar according to the rules and regulations that were set forth by the Chachamim to create a shtar. So for example, we'll have a rule that the shtar has to be commissioned by the Mischayev, and we'll have another rule that the Edom have to sign in a shtar, and sometimes we have to validate their signatures. And now we have a new rule, which Rabbi Meir is Mechadish, that the shtar has to have a chrayis. If it doesn't have a shtar chrayis, and it's a shtar milva, it's not a shtar, says the Rashba. That's not the way we envision a shtar. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a certain way, the Chacham created a shtar in a certain way. And what is the shtar that the Chacham created that overrides the psul mipich somam as Eilis Piksav? It is the achrayas in the shtar. Again, this has no impact on other shtars. You know, for example, there's a valid shtar which is called a get, or a shtar kiddushin. There might be a shtar mecher. There may be many different shtars. Now, if I buy your karka, I would also like some security. But what happens is the mocher writes the shtar on the karka. He gives the shtar over to lokeach, and the question is: Does lokeach have recourse to get his money back in event that this mocher who sold him the kak is also a lover who owes a chov to lekuchos? Lekuchos now come to the buyer, they confiscate the karka, and now the lokech wants some sort of fallback position, some recourse to get his money back, because here he bought a piece of karka, the karka is now being confiscated from him in order to pay up the mocher's chov. So he turns to the mocher and he says, this is not fair, I paid you thousands or millions of dollars and now I'm left with nothing. So for that he needs achrayis. So I don't know what would be in a shtar mecher that doesn't have achrayis according to Rabbi Meir. Yesh l'stapik b'dom. But as far as a shtar halva without achrayis, that Rabbi Meir says is not a shtar. That's already edus b'ksav. What's it worth? It's worth a dollar lotzer al pitzli chuso. So what's the lova claiming in our case? The lova is claiming lo hayu dvar me'olam. I'm a little bit confused about one possibility, because how can he say lo hayu dvar me'olam if we have two edim on the shtar? And the answer should be kiyum shtaros, right? We should be able to bring in the two edim and they should verify their signatures. So I don't know exactly why the story ends with the fact that the lova says lo hayu dvar me'olam. That's a little bit confusing to me. Why isn't there an element here? Why don't we add the element of kiyum shtaros into the equation? Now, there's a long, long tosfos here. I'm wondering if somewhere in this tosfos he touches on the issue of kiyum shtaros. I would love to do a word search here in this tosfos and see if he mentions kiyum shtaros. There's a lot here about shkimera. There's a lot here about shtar kis, about ksav yod. I mean, there are many different elements in this tosis, but I'm just wondering if we can get a quick answer to our question of why not just be mekayim the shtar. Oh, I see the word kium. That might be a good sign. I don't know. Afilim yavach kachalov yito mizuyov. Wow. You know what Tosis is saying here? That there is kiyum on the shtar. But the Malva did such a great job in forging, in, how do you say forging? No, how do you say it?
Forging
the shtar, that even the Kedis Kiyum were fooled by his forgery. He did such a great job. And again, he introduces the concept of Tfisas Bala Shtar. So, if the Malva is holding on to the shtar, and then we could be Makayim the shtar, we don't believe it's Mizuyah. But if the Malva dropped the shtar, and the Lov is claiming it's Mizuyah, then even after Kiyum, we're not, right? Right? So, let me ask you a fine question. The Rabbanan instituted a requirement called Kiyum Shtaros. Why don't we say, even after the Kiyum, maybe he did such a great job in the forgery that the Edom themselves were fooled, or the other Edom, or whatever it might be. The answer is Tfisas Bala Shtar. But if you find the Shtar, and the Lov is claimed Mizuyov, then even after Kiyum, we're still worried that maybe there was a forged Shtar. So let's take a minute now just to summarize the sugya. I have here a very quick, short-formed, abbreviated overview, sikum of the sugya here. I'll read it to you. He says the following, that Rav Asi...
Mesifter. It's Stam Mesifter.
This is Mesifter Shel Malam. He says that Rav Asi and Abaye are talking about the Mishnah in a case where the Lova admits that he owes the Chov. What's the Machlokes? When Rabbi Meir says if the Shtar is a Chrayis, we don't return the Shtar. Rav Asi says the reason we don't return the Shtar is because we're worried about being Gova from the Lekuchos Shalo Kedin. So we have to protect the Lekuchos. Abai is also going to say we have to protect the Lekuchos, but from a totally different nightmare, the nightmare of Kenunya. But the reason why, according to Rav Asi, we have to protect the Lekuchos is because we're afraid that maybe the shtar was a shtar mukta, meaning to say that the date on the shtar was before the actual halva took place. According to Abaye, we don't have to worry about the early bird shtar because Eidah B'chasumim Zachinlo, so we know that the Shibud is a guarantee, but we have to worry about Kinunya, that maybe the Lova is in cahoots with the Malva, and that's the case of a Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayus. That's Abai and Ravasi. Now, if the Shtar is Ein Bo Achrayus, and you cannot collect from the Lekuchos, then assuming the Lova admits that he owes the money, then we give the Malva back the Shtar. If on the other hand the Lova denies that he paid back the money, then you cannot return the shtar to the Malva because that would be used against the Lova. We don't know who dropped the shtar. Now Shmuel says that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the Lova denied the Chov, and yet we only return the shtar if it's Ein Bo Achrayus. And why would we return the shtar if it's Ein Bo Achrayus if the Lova denies the Chov? The answer is because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir that in the case of a shtar Ein Bo Achrayus, because it's not the correct protocol, the shtar is worthless. So the Lova loses nothing. But what does the Lova lose? He loses the value of the shtar as a chefta shel klaf, you know, that you can use lots of putzuchusa. So once again, we have to ask the question, why do we return the shtar to the Malva if it's Ein Bo Achrayus? Well, it's worth something, right? The shtar is worth something. The Lova's writes that shtar too, whatever it's worth. And the answer is that the Lova is claiming Mizuyov, and therefore by his own admission he didn't drop the shtar. That's the summary of the sugi. Omar Abulaza. So does everybody have the place? We're on Yud Gimel and Beis, and we're on the first line. Omar Abulaza or Machlokes Shri Rabbi Meir Chachamim, in a case of Shtar Shein Bo Achrayus, can you return it to the Malva? Is what the Ein B'She'ein Chayav Modeh. It means that the Lova is claiming Mizuyah. The Rabbi Meir Sover Shtar Shein Bo Achrayus, is Eino Gove Lomi Mishabdi Velobene Chori. So Rav Meir says there's no problem returning the shtar in this case of Ein Bochras because it's a meaningless shtar. We're only giving it to him Lotzer Al Pi Tzlichusa. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan hold that a shtar Shein Bochras Migve Gove, you can collect from Bnei Chori. And since the Lov is claiming that he didn't borrow the money, then how can we give the shtar back to the Malva? And therefore, even in the case of a shtar Shein Bochrayus, where there's no Hefsid Lekuchos, we cannot return the shtar to the Malva because he'll use it as a weapon against the Lov, and the Lov is claiming that he never borrowed the money. Avol Kshachayev Modeh, if the Lov admits that he borrowed the money, says Rabbi Elazar, in this case, L'direi Kol, everybody agrees that we can return the shtar
to the malva.
And why is that so? Well, as far as the Lov is concerned, he doesn't lose anything. He's Modeh that he owes the money. Mm-hmm. As far as Lekuchas are concerned, mm-hmm. So the answer is Lo Chayshina L'Piron L'Kinunya. In that sense, Rabbi Lozar accepts the sheet of Shmuel that we mentioned earlier, that we're not choshesh for kinunya. Let's be choshesh that there's an earlier date on the shtar. And the answer to that is Eidav Chasum of Zochinlo. So it seems that Rabbi Lozar accepts the principle of Abaye of Eidav Chasum of Zochinlo. I'll read to you what he says, and you'll know who he is by now, hopefully.
Right now.
Who mashein choshesh in shema kosav halov es hashtar benisam v'lo lov atish v'yasiru al kuk shlo kedin hainu mishum shirav Eliezer. He has another option. I don't know why he doesn't give my option. Well, you'll see as we go along. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer sovek ki Rabbi Asi umamed es hamishle b'shtari hakno. So the kinyan of the shiva was written in the shtar. Shebahem in such a shtar lamrot shaloi tzahalva is nevertheless the shiva is chal. Therefore we have no kshash in returning the shtar to the malva. Why doesn't he introduce Abaye? He says the following. So all that I told you until now is the Ritva. But he says, Tosa Rabbeinu Peretz and Tosa Rosh say that Rabbi Elazar holds that Ki Rabbi Elazar Savar Ke Abaye. Okay, I just want to underline those words here. Ki Rabbi Elazar Savar Ke Abaye She'edo V'chasumav Zochim. Okay, so there are two options in interpreting Rabbi Lozar. Either he holds a Garvasi, we're talking about a case of Shtar Yakno. The Lov himself is Modeh that he owes the money. And since the Shtar Yakno, we cover all our bases. The Lov doesn't lose anything, and Lekus don't lose anything. That's Rabbi Lozar. Rabbi Yochanan, Ramach Lokes, Kishachayev Modeh. Okay, so we understand Rabbi Meir very well. Why? Because we don't lose anything by returning the shtar to the malva because the lov is modeh. There's no problem of hefsi lekuchos either because we're not choshesh lekinunya, or because it's a shtar akno, or because of eidav chasum of zochinlo. But there's some shtar shein bo achrayis nechasim. I'm sorry. So again, we're only going to return the shtar if it's ein bo achrayis nechasim. And if it's Eimbo, look at that. Rabbi Yochanan holds Mishabdei V'Lo V'Menei Chori Migvah Gavi. So Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have that procedural requirement that it's only upgraded from Eis B'Ksav Eis B'Shtar if there's a Chrayus. Rabbi Yochanan recognizes the validity of a Shtar whose power is limited to B'nei Chori. Meaning you could only collect from the Lova and then no Shibudin to the Malva. So again, by returning the Shtar that has no Achrayus, according to Rabbi, there's nothing lost, right? Because there's nothing lost to Lekuchas, the Shtar is not collectible from Lekuchas because there's no Achrayus in the Shtar. There's no loss to the lover because he's moded. Okay, so what do the Chachamim hold? Rabbanan Savri. The Chachamim hold that mi meshabdi nami gavi. Oh, we finally got to the sugya machrais tos sofer. That the Chachamim hold is that every shtar yesh b'achrais, even if the achrais is not written in the shtar, but we assume that the sofer omitted. It was an oval. Oversight. Excellent. It was an oversight of the sofer by leaving out achrayas. Now, if every shtar has achrayas, now who's exposed? Now who's vulnerable if we get back the shtar lekuvos? Okay. So what are we afraid of? And once again, we can go through various possibilities. Either we're afraid that the shtar was written on an earlier date than alfa, or alternatively, we're worried about kinnun. So let's see. He says the following, that the Gemara is going to establish that halva hoy sal dashi shabdu nechasim shum kach lamrod sheshneim modim shachov kayim ein machzirin zeshtar lemalvik shashem achov parua vodas alovi machmas kinunya. Okay, so what he's saying here is that according to Rabbi Yochanan's presentation, the Chachamim are worried about kinuni, which would mean that Rabbi Meir is not choshes l'kinuni. Avok shein chayev mode divrei hakol lo yachzir d'chayshinu l'peiron. It means that the lover is not mode. He's claiming one of two things. Either he's claiming that he never borrowed the money and the shtar is a ziyuf, or he's claiming that he paid back the chov. So either or, in either of these two cases, everybody would have to agree that we cannot return the shtar to the mal, because he'll be using it as a tool, a powerful tool against whom? Against the lover. And the lover is denying. The chayshina l'tiron. Ah, interesting. Chayshina l'tiron. Let me just say a few words about chayshina l'tiron. Normally we have a principle called shtar chaviyot chamay boy. And the lover is not believed to say parati because the malv is holding on to the shtar. It's another example of tfisas bala shtar. But in the case where the shtar was found in the street, so you can't turn to the lover and say shtar chaviyot chamay boy because it's not the other.
Not yet, yeah.
And the lover is saying that he dropped the shtar after he paid up the chol. What time is it now?
28.
All right, so we have one more minute. Let me just read one more piece of the Gemara. Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan and Tiyuvta de Rabbi Elazar Bechada. With Tiyuvta de Shmuel Betarte. So we're going to bring up one brisa that's going to be multifunctional. It's going to be a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. It's going to be a kasha on Rabbi Elazar, but only a partial kasha on Rabbi Yochanan and Tiyuvta. But it's going to be a double whammy kasha against Shmuel. So let's just read the brice and then I'll let you go. Matzah shtari chov v'yesh b'em achrayis nechasim af al pi sheshneim modim lo yachzer lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. So again, this seems to be a clear cut statement of chayshinan lit kinunya, right? Because even though the lo is modeh that what? That he owes the chov, the malveh is claiming that he wants to collect the chov from the lover. The lover, on the other hand, doesn't have money to pay back the chov. If we return the shtar to the malva, then there's a good possibility that the lover and the malva working in cahoots against the lekuchos, and that since it's a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, therefore the lekuchos are going to lose. Okay, then. So let's make a note of where we got up to. Tanya kavose de Rabbi Yochanan. Okay then. Okay. Fine.